Sports Radio 1290. CFRW, Winnipeg.
Yeah! Time to get a lip.
A division of Bell Media. Sports Radio 1290 presents the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. 3 hours of in-depth analysis, insight, and opinion into Canada's game. Now, here's Drew, Richard, and Ezra.
In the morning, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Our I like this funky tune here.
Yes, thank you.
This is good. I'm getting ready for Black Keys tonight. Me and Tim taking the black limo.
Stop about the Black Keys, please. Our final Saturday morning show of the summer. We're off on Saturday mornings for the summer, but we will be on various weeknights through July and August. This coming Wednesday, I believe the next Wednesday, then a Monday, then some Thursdays. Stay tuned to Sports Radio 1290. They'll update you as to when we're on. Also, our Twitter feed at Illegal Curve, www.illegalcurve.com and facebook.com/illegalcurve. You can't get away from us. We'll be with you all summer long.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Live to the press box at Skydome, or the Rogers Centre to be more accurate. Mike Harrington of the Buffalo News, you're there for the Roy Halladay's big return.
That's right. I have multiple notebooks and multiple heads in my Buffalo News card. And through free agency day today, I moved over to Halladay Day on Saturday.
Mike, we really must be in the bizarro world because Buffalo is a large market team that is spending big money. Did you ever think we would see the day?
No, you know, it's funny. I was just talking to a couple people here. I went on, you know, our favorite websites for salary, and not only are they a large market team spending money right now, they're the number one team in the league in payroll. And obviously, that's not going to stand put all through the fall and into the start of the year, but it just shows the statement that Terry Pegula has made. They have to be part of the league now, and they have to spend money and get some players in here if they want to win a Stanley Cup, which is his stated goal. And in the last 2 weeks, they've certainly done that.
Mike, you can talk about the other signings in a little bit, but was there anything not to like about the Robin Regier acquisition?
No, I think that was probably the number one need. They needed more toughness and more experience on defense, and that was borne out in the way they lost that playoff series to the Flyers. Mm-hmm. And Robin Regier was a guy they targeted, 31 years old, brings that toughness and leadership. That was about the perfect acquisition for them this offseason, let alone all the other things they've done.
Mike, I have to agree with you. I really like the Robin Regier trade. On the other hand, I'm not a big fan of this Christian Ehrhoff signing. Why did the Sabres give him so much money and sign him to so many years?
Well, I mean, that's the big subject for debate. I think a certain element of me says that Terry Pegula was simply making a statement to the rest of the league, and if Christian Ehrhoff's checkbook was going to benefit from his statement, so be it. The one thing to look at the contract, you know, it's going to be an easy contract to get out of. He's only making $1 million a year the last 3 years of the deal. Doesn't circumvent the Kovalchuk rules, you know, from that standpoint. He doesn't from the age standpoint. Yeah, he's making $10 million, and he's the highest paid player in the NHL the first year of the deal, and that's a little crazy. But you know what? For all the years, the Sabres have just watched players go out the door. Maybe they're entitled for a little crazy just for once.
Mike, we were talking about this earlier in the show, but Christian Ehrhoff is definitely more of an offensive defenseman than he is defensively responsible. Do you see him driving Lindy Ruff crazy with his defensive shortcomings?
Well, you know, I would agree with that a couple years ago, but I think the Sabres have really transformed a lot of their style. They, you know, you talk about opposing teams who scout them, and they say try to play their defense the way they come up in the rush in a four-man unit now has really made it very difficult to play, especially since they got Tyler Myers in, Marc-Andre Grenati the end of last season. They want offensive guys really going forward, and I think they kind of countered that by getting Regier, who's a terrific shutdown defenseman. Mm-hmm. They want to play more offensive-minded with their defense as a unit, so Ehrhoff's a perfect addition from that standpoint.
The other big signing that the Sabres made, that's Ville Leino. 6 years, $27 million, $4.5 million per season. Where does this team sort of slot him in? Who do they see him playing with? What sort of role do they hope to get from him?
Well, it's an interesting one because obviously he played on the wing in Philadelphia with Danny Briere, and they said at the press conference yesterday they want him to play center. I think right now, unless they make another move for a Paul Stastny or Jason Spezza or someone of that ilk, they're going to try Leino as their number two center behind Derek Roy. They did not get involved with Brad Richards, as it turned out. Maybe they make a deal for a center later in the summer, but they're going to try Leno at center, and he told us yesterday he'd actually prefer to be there. He was at the wing in Philly out of necessity. So some people don't like the fact it's a converted player, but the Sabres feel pretty confident he can be a big help for them at center.
Mike, in terms of Darcy Regier, this is really the first time that he's had, you know, free reign with the salary cap, with the checkbook, really even since he took over back in the 90s. Do you see any worry at all of kind of similar, like Glenn Sather effect, when he's in Edmonton and he's in a limited payroll, he has certain moves, and then he gets the freedom to spend a lot of money and doesn't really know what to do with it?
You know, the jury's going to be out on that. We don't know yet. I mean, obviously that's a concern. I think, you know, you could certainly easily say, and I would agree, that they overpaid for Erhoff and Ville Leino. Ville Leino still doesn't have a 20-goal season in the National Hockey League. They're hoping on potential there. I think the biggest thing right now is, if these moves go poof in the night, Darcy Regier had to show at least that he could be creative and make some bold moves. And there is no question that the Buffalo Sabres are a better team today than they were at the end of the season. And let's be honest here, guys. They were pretty close. They lost to Philadelphia in Game 7. And the Boston Bruins just won the Stanley Cup, and they lost to the Buffalo Sabres four times last season.
Right. Tim Connolly, do you have any insight into where he could be headed now?
We really thought he was probably going to Dallas, but I know now that it sounds like they're getting ready to open the checkbook in Toronto. And, you know, no offense to Mr. Connolly. He's a good enough fellow. He was fine with the media. It's not a media vendetta like some fans like to think. But if he's your plan B and you're going to give him $10 to $15 million, you're going to be sorry. It's just not going to work.
Mike, some people are already penciling in, you know, the Buffalo Sabres as a surefire Eastern Conference finalist for next season. But really, is the expectation Stanley Cup Finals or Stanley Cup Championship or bust?
The expectation is Stanley Cup Finals and Championship within 3 years. You know, there's a lot of over-enthusiasm, I think, in Buffalo right now, and I want to temper that and remind people that this team is a lot better, but they haven't won a playoff series since 2007. So you don't suddenly go from out of the playoffs or out in the first round to deep into the thing very often. I know Tampa Bay did last year, and the Lightning kind of, you know, did the same thing. A big pocket owner came in, made some moves. They had a new GM. But we'll see. You know, my attitude with the Sabres is have a good year, win a first-round series, then we can start talking how far you're going to go in the playoffs.
Mike, do you expect that the Sabres are more or less done now, or is there still a possibility that they have some fires burning, that they're going to make another splash?
Well, they're going to have to sign their RFAs. That'll put them over the cap in terms of having to wait for that summer allowance to go away. They can stash the money in Rochester. I still think they're going to look for a center. They can make a deal if they want. They have a lot of forwards in this organization. They have a lot of defensemen in this organization. I think they're done for now. I think they want to sit back, take stock, see if there's another center out there. It's not ridiculous to think they have another move in them. But if they don't do anything else till training camp, I think they're pretty happy right now.
Mike, last question. It's going to go back to the baseball related. Should I just bet on a Roy Halladay perfect game today just to get it over with?
Well, you know, the Jays have a pretty good hitting lineup, and I obviously Doc is going to be pretty juiced for this start. But, you know, I'm just actually interested more to see the reaction of the crowd. I hope they give him a great reaction. He's clearly, in the post-World Series, they are the best player the Blue Jays have produced, and certainly deserves the accolades he got yesterday when he brought the lineup card out, and it should be a terrific atmosphere here today.
Are they expecting a big crowd in Toronto?
Yeah, they had 45,000 yesterday in Canada Day, and I've been told it should be close to that, if not more, for Halladay today.
Well, based on what he gave to that organization, I hope they give him a loud, sustained ovation.
I would agree with that. That's what he deserves. He's a terrific player, a terrific guy, a terrific citizen. He did everything he could for this organization, and he deserved to get a chance to go play for a winner.
Hey, Mike, I know Drew said that was the last question, but I was wondering if we could sign you to a 10-year, 40-show deal.
You just make sure it's front-loaded. I want a lot of money up front to show you're serious.
Okay.
That's no problem whatsoever. Mike Harrington of the Buffalo News, thanks for joining us this morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
All right, gentlemen. Looking forward to seeing Winnipeg this season.
Looking forward to seeing you here. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
That's Mike Harrington of the Buffalo News. Let's head to commercial break. When we come back, we're going to break down the rest of the Southeast Division, see what our opponents did during the free agency frenzy that was July 1st. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, 10:45 in the morning, our final Saturday morning show of the summer. We're going to be on weeknights throughout the summer, once a week, various weeknights. Check your local listings, by which I mean check out www.illegalcurve.com. And, of course, stay tuned here to Sports Radio 1290. Follow us on Twitter, at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. And remember to go to iTunes and subscribe to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It'll be sent to your iPod each and every week as soon as you press that nice little subscribe button. Gentlemen, let's continue on our division-by-division search of the NHL's free agency frenzy. Let's start in the Southeast Division.
Southeast Division.
This is our division, somehow. Not 100% sure why. But,
we're still not sure why.
Yeah, I'm still not sure why. But anyways, that's in case you've missed it, to start with the Winnipeg free agent signings. Tanner Glass was signed, ex of the Vancouver Canucks, very familiar to the Winnipeg brass. 1 year, $750,000. Derek Meech was signed, 1 year, $700,000. Derek Meech is going to join us on the line at 11:30 this morning. He was the first of the new Winnipeg Jets free agent signings, so that's a little note for your history books. Derek Meech, 1 year, $700,000, going to be joining us at 11:30 in the morning. And then the final free agent signing, terms not released as of yet, Aaron Gagnon, played with the Dallas Stars, played last year, also with the AHL Stars affiliate in Texas. Where is it in Texas? I'm not sure. It's just the Texas Stars. I'm not sure exactly where
they're. Not in Houston.
I think, are they San Antonio? It might be San Antonio.
Might be.
I have no clue.
Okay, anyways, Aaron Gagnon, Tanner Glass, and Derek Meech make up the signings for the Winnipeg franchise so far. Wouldn't shock me if they get back into it with, in the next few days with somebody else, one of these guys who didn't go on July 1st. Mm-hmm. But, we're bound to, we'll wait and see, of course.
Jason Arnott wouldn't be a bad signing.
That's some good veteran leadership right there, if you ask me.
Yeah, and, he can. Bigger guy up the middle, they need a little bit of help, take some pressure off the young guys, but I'm not so sure he'd want to sign here for a year that's going to be bottom five in the NHL.
Yeah.
Just so fans have their expectations in check.
Yeah,
so exactly bottom five in the NHL.
Yeah. Another guy I mentioned, too, is Langenbrunner, but, I mean, the problem with Langenbrunner is he had an injury towards the end of two seasons ago, and
he hasn't
played very well, and it's a question of will he fit in, be a good veteran.
He's American,
but Drew, just on the topic of the signings the Jets made, I really like the signings. They were obviously pretty low key signings, but Derek Meech is a Winnipegger. He didn't crack the Wings lineup last year, but the Wings are pretty stocked on defense, but still relatively young at 27. He does have an upside. He's more of a defensive defenseman, but he's physical.
Play forward,
wing.
Has played forward, but he's versatile. I like the signing from that perspective. There's a lot to like about that signing. He may end up playing a little bit in the AHL, but I really truly believe that he will get a decent shot and will play some games here in Winnipeg. Tanner Glass, he's a grinding forward. He's not going to give you a lot of offense. But once again, they signed him to a one-year deal, and he'll be a guy that'll play on the fourth line. Aaron Gagnon, I don't know a lot about him. All I know is that he played a few games with Dallas, and he's another guy that'll probably play in St. John's, Richie. So three signings that were low-key, not a huge splash, but all signings that are going to complement this young team. The most important, we've said this for the last, three or four weeks, the most important thing for Kevin Cheveldayoff and Craig Heisinger is to get these RFAs signed. And it looks like Andrew Ladd, Blake Wheeler, and Zach Bogosian are all going to, put their name on a contract very shortly.
In terms of, I want to transition to Washington here, and let's go over their signings. Jeff Halpern, 1 year, under $1 million, totally fine with that. Brooks Like signed a huge deal at 4.5 per year, overpay as far as I'm concerned. The Semyon Varlamov trade for a first and a second rounder with the condition was an absolute steal to Colorado. I don't know what Greg Sherman was drinking last night, but that's an awful trade. Signing Joel Ward to $3 million per year, probably a little high. Joel Ward's even strength offensive production has been fairly poor over the past 3 years. Not terrible 3 years ago. Pretty poor this year. Pretty poor the year before. Obviously, he brings different attributes to the table, and he's not necessarily counted on Purdue's offense. But $3 million a year is a little bit high, but, you can stomach it. Roman Hamrlik for 2 years, I think it was at 7?
Yep.
7.5.
3.5 per year.
Oh, sorry, 7, yeah.
2 years at 7 for Roman Hamrlik is ridiculous. I mean, come on, Roman Hamrlik is one of the slowest defensemen in the National Hockey League now. What do you have him out there for? Is it to move the puck? Well, you have Mike Green, you have John Carlson, you have Carl Alsner. You have guys who can move the puck back there. Hamrlik, can he provide a solid defensive play? Sure, in the right situation, but he's really not fast enough to get around the ice anymore. Why'd you give him a 2-year deal is beyond me. I mean, again, as I said at the beginning of the show, there's no such thing as a bad 1-year deal. Roman Hamrlik should not have been getting a 2-year deal, as far as I'm concerned. And they added in Ryan Patolin.
Richie, earlier in the show, we were talking about the Atlantic Division and the Philadelphia Flyers and how they actually do have a good track record of drafting and developing prospects, but they seem to have a shotgun reaction to free agency and the trade deadline. And Washington is another team that's like that with the signings and the trades they make. Hamrlik and Ward, to me, those signings, reek of, those guys were good in the playoffs, this past year, and they've been good playoff guys. So let's go get those guys on our team. But
the difference is this doesn't fundamentally change what the Capitals are all about. These are, they might be overpaid. And they probably are, but
Like signing's good. He deserves a bump in pay.
He doesn't deserve $4.5 million though. He's not good enough to get $4.5 million. But
Nick Antropov's making $4 million, it's all relative.
The key players in the Capitals organization are still the same guys. These are the pieces they fit around the key players.
That's right.
And these are all professional hockey players. So I think the approach to Washington, we might not agree with some of the terms and we might not agree with some of the dollars they spend, but it's not handcuffing them, and it's not changing their core fundamentals. And that's, I think, the difference between what they do and, say, what a team like Philadelphia does.
It's a fair point.
Thank you. Where is the day I make a fair point?
Mediocre signings, though, in my opinion, for Washington.
Okay, well, you're entitled to your opinion. Yeah. Let's go to Tampa Bay. They made a couple of sort of minor moves. Matthew Garand, 2 years, $2.6 million, $1.3 million per year to be the backup goaltender to Dwayne Rolison. They re-signed Dwayne Rolison 1 year, $3 million with a whole lot of incentives there.
That's totally fine. That's costing you $4.3 million for two goalies. Steve Yzerman gets it. And the truth is this, guys, is that Garon will play a fair amount in the regular season next year to lessen the load on over 40 Dwayne Rolison.
Yeah.
Stevie Yzerman gets it. I can't say that enough. This guy knows what he's doing. Jeff Finnick knows what he's doing. Guy Boucher knows what he's doing. That's why you don't partake in this insanity on July 1st.
It's really what it is.
Speaking of insanity, and let me transition. I need to go on a little bit of a rant. Dale Tallon is straight out of his mind. Straight out of his mind. And I know, first, let me tell you, I know all the four-year contracts are set up in a way that in 4 years, when he thinks he can contend, they'll come off the books. Okay? Yeah.
That's 4 years from now, though.
Could it easily... What if they compete earlier, and then you have all these contracts on the books? What if... what you need to do if you're Dale Tallon is, instead of locking up four-year contracts, overpay these guys for 1 year. A ton. Because there's no such thing as a bad one-year contract. Even 2 years. Dale Tallon giving these guys four-year deals... Thomas Kopecky, 4-year deal, $3 million. Okay. Taking Brian Campbell's untradeable contract on, why? And then, this is the thing.
I like when the rage overtakes you.
4 years at all these guys. And then he signs Jose Theodore, who is not a number one netminder. And you have Jakob Markstrom in the minors, who still needs another year of seasoning. Your best player last year, and for the past 4 years, has unquestionably been Thomas Vokoun. And you let him go, as far as we can tell. You're paying Theodore essentially like you let him go. Because you have Clements on the books. So you have two goalies on the books. Why would you want three guaranteed goalie contracts? I don't know. Okay? You bring him... Vokoun is the reason why you were even serviceable last year as a franchise. You give Upshaw 4 years. You give Fleischman 4 years. You give Kopechki 4 years. You give Eddie Jovanovski...
Upshaw.
At 34, 35 years old, 4 years. Brian Campbell, you take his contract on, 7.14 for the next spot. What? I mean, just think about it this way, okay? How much money they have tied up in their play...
Choking on his rage, folks. I mean, he's choking
Tallon,
on his Dale rage.
Dale Tallon can identify talent. That's never a question. But the way that he manages the salary cap is scary.
To play the devil's advocate, Dale Tallon would say that, we have to get up to the floor because we're about $85 million under the floor when they...
Not for 4-year deals, you don't.
Well, that's just it. I mean, going back to your original point, why don't you if you want to sign Jovanovski, why don't you sign him to a 2-year deal at, you know, $6 million per? Yeah, you're overpaying him, but who cares?
Okay, hold on. In 3 years from now, so 2 seasons go by. This is what you have on the books. Let me just put this into context, okay? By the way, CBA up after next year. People think the CBA is going to drop down.
Salary rollback sort
and
of
if,
situation.
And if the NBA gets 50-50 or whatever it is, NHL will roll back from 54% to the players to 50%, okay?
Right.
Because usually there's a precedent set from other leagues. Okay, just think about that. Long-term ramifications of law. And Larry Brooks wrote a really good article about it in the New York Post last Sunday. Okay? Thomas Fleischman, Scotty Upshaw, that's 2. Kopetsky, 3. Campbell, 4. Jovanovski, 5. Those 5 players, none of which is a number 1 defenseman, arguably not even a number 2 defenseman, none of which are first-line hockey players. You could argue the highest would be 5th best player on a team, you know, middle of the second line. Those 5 players, $22.2 million locked up in those 5 players 2 years from now. Say the salary cap does roll back.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't, you're not... Has Detroit, Pittsburgh taught you anything about paying your best players? You just paid a bunch of guys who aren't your best players. Well, they might be on this terrible team.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me.
If there's any model... I mean,
makes no sense. I honestly don't know. I mean, nobody in Florida knows.
You know, if Buffalo went crazy, then Florida got drunk. I don't know.
Buffalo at least took a step to being a Stanley Cup champion.
Yeah,
a Stanley Cup finalist.
By the way,
as
an aside, quickly going back to, and I understand Mike's point, and I agree with the purpose behind it. Making a statement, like, what does that mean if you're Terry?
He made a statement in the at the trade deadline last year when he went out and got Brad Boys and everybody else.
What's a statement mean? A 10-year statement? That's a long statement.
Yeah,
you don't want Chris Yarov to be your statement for 10 years, maybe 3 days.
Anytime I think you hear that your team is making a statement, it's probably a bad decision.
Yeah, was Dale Tallon mixing a few drinks yesterday morning?
He had
or
to
what?
Have been mixing
some social drinks.
Listen, the Scotty Upshaw signing, I like. We were hoping that maybe Winnipeg was going to go after.
I would have gone 3 years, $9 million for bottom money.
Okay,
yeah.
The signings to me that are absolutely ridiculous are, like you said, Theodore, especially Jovo and Kopetsky. Kopetsky's proven that he's not been consistent at the NHL level. He's shown flashes. He's definitely got offensive talent. He's not physical, and it's always about, oh, Kopetsky can be good. He can be good. And he, you know, once in a while, he's good. Theodore is a backup goalie in the NHL at this point in his career. What is he, 35 years old?
If that.
He can give you 40 games max, maybe 50.
With that goaltending, there's going to be a long year. That goaltending's awful.
Jovanovski,
awful.
This is
awful.
Not...
Awful. Both goals are terrible.
I've always been a big fan of Jovanovski, but he's had multiple injuries over his career, and at this point is a 15-minute, 25-30-point defenseman.
Can I cut in here quickly, Ez?
Yeah.
If you have that bad goaltending, why are you adding Ed Jovanovski and Brian Campbell, two poor defensive players on your back end?
Because you're just spending money to get to the floor. You're not spending money with any sort of
real plan. So why are these guys? These guys are on 4-year deals.
I'm not arguing.
And Campbell's on 5-year deal.
There's a lot there, like this probably, and don't get me wrong, the Florida Panthers, what they've done is they put themselves in a position where they had to spend this money. I don't want to hear that, you know, this is why the salary cap, you know, this is the fault of the NHL and the salary cap. No, you didn't have players.
That's right.
You didn't put yourselves in a position to deal with a raise.
Oh, I
they
forgot.
Knew the raise in the salary floor was coming.
I forgot. They also had a Christopher Steak for 3.08.
Yeah, that's right. They also traded for Christopher Steak.
That's fine. Cause they traded second and third.
I don't mind that.
If you're a young rebuilding team, why are you trading any draft picks?
You need all your draft picks. That's the part that doesn't make any sense. I mean, I know you have to get to the floor, but there's better ways to do it.
And Christopher Steak's been traded now 3 times.
So it may be something about Christopher Steak that people don't like.
And the depressing thing is I don't think the Panthers are good enough now to make the playoffs next year.
No, they're still not good enough.
With the defense they have in front of that awful goaltending, unless they sign somebody we're not aware of, it's going to be a rough, it's going to be 6-4, 6-3.
Hey, at least the Jets are in their division,
yeah,
right?
Well, there'll be a lot of goals in those games.
Exactly. Let's go to break, guys. When we come back, Aaron Portsline of the Columbus Dispatch is going to join us. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. down, 1 hour to go. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
You have no clue that's the Black Keys, obviously.
I'm getting pumped up for this concert. Thanks again, Tim, for getting me a ticket.
Tim, don't ever expect to get paid for that ticket, by the way.
Drew, is your next omelet going to be nothing like your ex-omelet?
I don't get it.
That's the lyrics of the song. It's not about an omelet, but a girl, but...
Drew, I'd rather if it was about omelets, to be perfectly honest.
You got to come prepared for the show, Drew. You got to start listening to Black Keys. Download them on your iRiver.
I do have an iRiver. That's a true story. That's a true story. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. 2 hours down, 1 hour to go on this Saturday morning. A reminder, it's our final Saturday morning here on Sports Radio 1290 for the summer. We'll be moving to various weeknights throughout the summer, throughout July and August. Stay tuned to IllegalCurve.com, our Twitter page, at IllegalCurve, and of course the radio here on Sports Radio 1290, and we'll let you know when we're going to be on air, which days, which time, all that good stuff. Let's go back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We're pleased to be joined on the line now by Aaron Portsline of the Columbus Dispatch. Aaron, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Well, thanks for having me, and welcome back, Winnipeg, to the NHL.
I appreciate that very much. Aaron, I mean, the biggest splash that the Blue Jackets have probably ever made in the free agent pool was earlier this week getting James Wisniewski. Sorry,
yesterday
getting James Wisniewski. Yeah,
it's been a long week.
It's been a long week. It was Canada Day yesterday, Aaron. So you know, there's been a little bit of alcohol consumed. But you know, is this a make or break year for the Columbus Blue Jackets franchise?
Well, it's I hate to put it in quite those terms because I hate to think what break might be if they don't make it. I don't think they're gone if they don't. If they don't have a successful playoff-type season this year, some people within the organization might be. It is a desperate time for the Blue Jackets, for sure. I mean, they're faced with attendance that plummeted last year. I don't blame the fans. They're faced with a roster that had significantly underperformed for the years that they were given to sort of get it going. So they had to make some changes. They had to make changes that would infuse hope in the dressing room. They had to make changes that would infuse hope in the fan base. And they landed two big fish, Jeff Carter, the day before the draft. They landed Wisniewski, as you mentioned, in free agency. Those are two big names, two guys that they wanted. The fans are excited, and we'll see where it takes them. By acquiring those two guys, they have left themselves vulnerable, in my opinion, in a couple positions, but to get some star power in here and to maybe breathe some life into the power play and make themselves a more dynamic team, I think it was a good move and long overdue.
Aaron, James Wisniewski has a almost identical cap hit to Duncan Keith. Can we, I mean, I'm perplexed by the contract. I realize, obviously, Columbus has never really had a power play quarterback back there, and that's been a crucial part of their game that they've been lacking, but how does Scott Housen justify this contract?
Well, he justifies it like this, and I was running some numbers last night looking at capgeek.com, and and before Shea Weber gets signed, that could change this, but Wisniewski will, in salary, not in salary cap, but in salary, pure money owed, will be the sixth highest paid defenseman in the NHL next season.
That's insane.
That sounds crazy. He's done it for 1 year. He had a heck of a year last year, a very, very good year. He's done it for 1 year, but, you know, economics 101 is that scarcity in the marketplace drives the number up. And if you look at the players who were available, in their opinion, and I think a lot of people would agree with them, there were two elite defensemen or two game-changing type offensive defensemen. I probably shouldn't use the word elite. Mm-hmm. But those two guys were Erhoff and Wisniewski, and they started talking to Montreal about Wisniewski's rights before the draft because they felt like in order to get a guy, they needed to get in front of him before free agency and show him what they were about and get him done. That they were able to do it is a huge gift for them. They will tell you, Scott Housen will admit that yes, James Wisniewski is overpaid. But that's also free agency. Look around the league yesterday. There were lots of bad deals, in my opinion, or maybe not bad deals, but deals that look like they could be bad. It's what the market is. It was a mediocre class and a ton of money available to spend, and that is a recipe for disaster. You look at the situation yesterday. I was talking to a friend today. you wonder in 5 years how many GMs will lose their jobs based upon yesterday.
Yeah,
you know?
It's a good point. Yeah.
Aaron, the Blue Jackets obviously really wanted Jeff Carter, and they got him. Was this really a no-brainer?
Well, I think it was. You know, we were writing a week or so in advance of that trade that the return was going to be Jake Voracek and the first-round draft pick, and every time I typed it, I thought, you know, clearly there has to be more to this. What am I missing here? I don't think anybody thought that the Flyers were ready to part with their two big guns, one of them, much less both of them. I think it's a great trade. Voracek could be a very good player for Philadelphia. Is he ever going to be a 40-goal, 80-point guy? I don't think he'll get the 40 goals. He might be a 60, 70-point guy in his peak. He's a potentially dynamic player, but the potential was starting to rot on the vine here in Columbus. He was stagnating rather than advancing. He needed a change. And it's high time, I think, for Columbus to be willing to part with first-round draft picks. If they had made that pick, they were adding a player to their organization who was probably 2 years away, maybe 3 years away. And, frankly, they don't have 2 or 3 years to go here. They need to win now, and I thought it was a great trade, and I thought Philly probably could have gotten more out of them.
We're joined on the line by Aaron Portsline of the Columbus Dispatch. Aaron, the team obviously, they acquired James Wisniewski on the back end, but they also lost the defenseman, that being Jan Hayda. Why did he fall out of favor with the Columbus brass?
Well, it wasn't a falling out of favor so much. It's just that the talks fell apart on the term, more so on the term than the money, but really both. Hayda's camp was looking for 4 years. I'm told that if they would have offered him the same money that Montour got, in Chicago, 4 years at 275, that it would have gotten done here, because this is where Jan Hayda wanted to be. Loves it here, wanted to stay here, made that clear to the team, may have made it too clear to the team, and maybe they took it for granted, but I think they were a little surprised that he so quickly got a deal on the market. He had more than one suitor. I believe Washington was in on it as well. Mm-hmm. And he got the deal he was looking for. Good player, an underrated player, and a guy that you know, probably Columbus, I shouldn't say probably, but there's a chance that as this next season plays out, they may regret the fact that they didn't keep him in the fold.
I agree with you there, and I think he is underrated, and I think they probably will regret that. But talking about the talent they brought in, and Jeff Carter is unquestionably a terrific talent, and you know, you can talk about the Wisniewski contract, but he will bring a puck-moving element to the back end. However, it seems to me, at least, that the success of this franchise still really depends on Steve Mason between the pipes. And considering his, you know, kind of off and on play, more so off than on lately, that could be a risky proposition moving forward.
Yeah, and you know what? I think they underwhelmed a lot of people in Columbus yesterday with their signing of Mark. I'm gonna get this pronunciation right, Dekanich. Mark Dekanich as his primary backup, and he is going to be Steve Mason's backup, a guy who has one NHL start on his resume.
Crazy.
It's a curious risk that they're taking, in my opinion. They have to believe that Steve Mason is the guy, and I don't fault them for that. I think when you watch the way that this kid played as a rookie now 3 seasons ago, you know that it's in there. It's in there somewhere. The fact that he has struggled so badly the last couple years, I don't know that it's fair to put it all on Steve Mason. The defense has struggled. They spend way too much time in the zone. I was talking to the GM today, and he sort of chuckled at the question, but when's the last time the Blue Jackets had a 5-2 lead? You know, it never happened. Every night that they took the ice, Steve Mason had to be their best guy, and that is a lot of pressure to put on anybody, let alone a guy in his young 20s with people expecting him to match what he did as a rookie. I think they're right to give him another chance. I think the fan base would feel a lot better if they had supported him with a guy who has a history of being a backup in the NHL. Those guys went very, very quickly on Friday, and they may have been caught a little flat-footed by it.
Aaron, I know that all of these moves have happened pretty quickly, but what's the fan reaction been like in Columbus? Has it been excitement, or is there still quite a bit of skepticism about these players that were acquired?
Well, there's excitement. People are off the charts excited about Jeff Carter. I mean, to be honest with you, when we wrote maybe 10 days before the trade happened that this is the conversation going on the inbox got filled pretty quickly, but with people saying, are you crazy? Jeff Carter is not going to be traded to Columbus. They're not going to pull off the deal. They're destined to never have a player like that. And people are really excited about that. They're excited about Wisniewski. They crave, especially the way that he handled the situation, Wisniewski making it clear that he wanted to be in Columbus. That meant a lot to the people here, especially the way that the first few days post-Carter went. So there is excitement. I don't know if these two guys are enough to cause a storming of the box office here in the off season. I do think attendance will be up, and I know for a fact. I mean, I know this market is probably as well as anybody growing up here. Mm-hmm. The people here, as long as they feel like they can trust the product, it's not just about winning, it's about putting on a good show. It's about being competent, about being competitive. If they feel like they can trust in this franchise, that place will be filled back up again, and it'll be rocking. The people who saw this franchise the first few years, I think, realize what this city can be and how far that they've fallen. But there's an opportunity now to get that back.
Aaron, we'll let you go on this last question. The Nikita Filatov time is officially over. He was dealt to Ottawa for a third-round pick at the draft. Is it just a personality clash? Just Filatov didn't want to do what the organization needed him to do?
I think that's part of it. I think he needed a change of scenery as much as anybody's ever needed one. I hope that the kid realizes he needs a change of attitude as well. That's a big part. He was a guy that I think he expected it to be a lot easier than it was. Mm-hmm. Frankly, was not a competitive player in Columbus at all. In most of those 23 games, he was barely even noticeable, wanted nothing to do with the puck when it was in areas of contact player, and he's no one's good enough to do that, but especially a guy like that, you want that skill and that anticipation and that wrist shot. He needs to be competing for the puck and active in spaces to get the puck, and he just wasn't. And frankly, when he went to Springfield, the minor leagues, his attitude was one of a diva and a guy who deserved to be in the NHL, and he had not proven that. I think it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. He was not coming back to Columbus. He was not welcome back in Springfield. They had to make a move. I think it's a good trade for both organizations. Very low risk for Ottawa. But the kid is not going to be an NHL player until he gets his attitude switched up and learns to compete more.
Aaron Portsline of the Columbus Dispatch, thanks very much for joining us this morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
All right, guys. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it, Aaron. Thanks very much. Let's head to commercial break. Sorry, Richie.
Let's quickly, I guess we're one division behind because we've had a lot of interviews.
Yeah, we'll have to do two in one.
We'll do Central. Central's easy, so we'll do Central and Northwest when we get back.
That's right. Central Division and Northwest Division coming up on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You're listening to Sports Radio 1290. I, for one, am never going to get sick of listening to Mark Chipman make that announcement.
What about Gary Bettman?
I can do with or without it. I think he's being a little bit disingenuous in it, but I don't really care. The Mark Chipman announcement's all I'm worried about.
Yeah,
it's a good announcement, Drew.
It's a good announcement. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, 11:20 in the morning on the Saturday morning, our final Saturday morning of the summer. We're going to be on weeknights from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. throughout the summer. Check your local listings. Check www.illegalcurve.com. Stay tuned to Sports Radio 1290. Follow our Twitter page at Illegal Curve, and you'll find out just exactly what day we will be on. I know, for example, that this coming Wednesday is when we're going to be on to start off our weeknight shows, 6 to 8 here on Sports Radio 1290. This coming Wednesday.
Two segments ago, we skipped over Carolina. They signed Alexei Ponikarovsky. It's fine.
I think we were okay with skipping over that. I think.
Did we inform CNN, Richie? Did they know about the signing?
Yeah, it's. I mean, Jimmy.
Is
Rutherford.
Piers Morgan going to have Ponikarovsky on tonight?
I think Piers Morgan's having you on tonight, isn't he?
Jimmy Rutherford.
I wish.
Jimmy Rutherford's
big
got
fan.
A lot of young talent there. So that, I mean, no need to splurge.
Exactly. They know exactly.
He'll
probably another guy who knows what he's doing.
He'll give him in a different way. He'll probably give him similar, a little bit less, but similar point production to a point. No pun intended, to Eric Cole.
Eric Cole, exactly. Yeah. And it doesn't cost them 4 years and $14.5 million or whatever it is.
It's actually 18.
Okay, sorry, it's even worse. 4 years, $18 million. Let's continue on going division by division. Let's go to the Central Division.
Central Division.
I like Andrew Burnett in Chicago for $2 million for 1 year. Such agents, by the way, to Don Baisley.
Yeah, he bailed out on the
Winnipeg.
On the homosexual comments.
Homophobic comments.
Yeah.
Jamal Mayers for 1 year. I mean, that's a fourth-line winger at best. Sean O'Donnell for 1 year solidifies your back end and is cheaper than an Andreas Lilja. Philly shows again that they're kind of out of their mind with those kind of signings.
Yeah.
Burnett, and then Dan, speaking of out of their mind, Dan Carcillo signed there as well.
But again, 1 year, $775. So, I mean, Chicago knows what they're doing.
4 1-year deals.
Yeah.
No such thing as a bad one-year deal.
Steve Montador, 4 years, $11 million.
That was a terrible contract.
I mean,
we're talking about yesterday. Fine. The day before, Steve Montador, you're paying him. I don't understand it. Are you putting him in that top four now? No, Nick Leddy's in the top four. It's going to be Leddy and Chalmerson, Keith and Seabrook. And I realize that they changed it up in the playoffs and they were playing all different combinations. But I assume your final pairing is going to be Montador, right-handed shooter, and Sean O'Donnell, left-handed shooter. Why you gave Montador 4 years at that rate is ridiculous.
You know,
I don't understand
Richie,
it. Why are you paying that much money?
When I first saw these signings, I didn't think they were that great. And now that I think about it, the fact that they're one-year deals... And they replace players that have left because the Chicago team has been in flux for 2 years. I like Carcillo. He is a little bit of a nutcase, but let's be honest, Chicago likes nutcases. So Brunette is still giving, putting up good numbers, in his late 30s.
I like Brunette.
Just like Drew's a good host in his late 40s. So,
I actually had a joke yesterday. You guys, I figured you guys were going to ask me what I shot in golf yesterday. I said I was going to shoot I shot my age. I shot an 83, something like along those lines. I was waiting for that.
You can't give your, you can't do age. You can't do your own age joke.
Yeah, come on, Drew.
Well,
we do the age joke.
Jumping the shark.
I've already jumped it. In fact, I broke my hip jumping it. It's what happened. But, the Andrew Brunette signing. Andrew Brunette is a professional. He knows what he's going to do. $2 million a year. No risk for a one-year deal. Yeah. This is another general manager, another team that, for the most part, knows what they're doing.
Well, they already won the offseason sweepstakes when they got rid of Brian Campbell's albatross.
Yeah, if you get rid of that contract, you win. It doesn't matter.
St. Louis signed Brian Elliott. He was dreadful last year for both Ottawa and Colorado. But, a former Wisconsin netminder, I think
they signed him to the league average.
Yeah, so,
isn't the league minimum $600,000?
Something like that.
That's what they signed him to, or 2 years, $1.2 million.
Well, he's taking a guaranteed contract if he can get it.
Oh, exactly right. That's the only reason. Yeah. He'll take his guaranteed money. That's exactly right.
Nashville, who I compared to Winnipeg and the way they're going to be running the franchise, being Winnipeg compared to Nashville, didn't do anything really. So
They signed nobody.
Detroit, Brent Watson, Commodore.
Mike Commodore, no risk. 1 year, $1 million.
Yeah, re-signed Patrick Hughes for 3 years, but not a lot of money.
Yeah, 3 years, $3.6 million. Drew Miller, 2 years, $1.65 million.
And then they re-signed Jonathan Erickson. Now, Jonathan Erickson, now you can read the terms, Drew.
Yeah, Jonathan Erickson, 3 years, $9.75 million. AAV of $3.25 million.
Now, Ezzy, it's a fair amount of money, but I think people have to take into consideration, A, Rafalski just retired.
Yep.
B, Lidstrom's going to retire probably after next year.
Yep.
And C, Erickson's better than when he played the past probably year and a half.
Erickson definitely took his game to the next level last year. And these are good signings. These are three guys that could have left, but they didn't want to. They got good money. And Commodore, bought out by Columbus, right? And he's a guy that will be a nice fourth or fifth, whatever you want to call it.
Sixth.
He's probably going to be a third-pairing defenseman who won't play tons of minutes, but he's a guy that...
getting paid $1 million, so who cares?
Well, not just the salary, Drew, but the fact that the acquisition is good for them because he'll fit in better there than on Columbus, where there's too much expectations for him.
That's right. He got overpaid, and he didn't perform to it. He probably played at the level that he usually plays at. He got overpaid, and he became salary cap albatross.
And then Wisniewski, we did to Columbus already, but Wisniewski was a dramatic overpay. Mm-hmm. Scott Housen, once again, is throwing money around to try and bring people to places that they maybe don't want to go. For whatever reason, he decides that he's got rid of Mike Commodore's contract and he wants to bring on another contract like that.
Anybody have any doubts that 3 years from now we'll see James Wisniewski in the minors because he got salary cap problems?
Well, that's a possibility, but I also think 3 years from now we might not see Scott Housen as a GM there. And I actually have respect for Scott Housen, but he's made a lot of wild moves there. I like the Carter move. I don't understand.
Well, the Carter move is a no-brainer.
Northwest Division.
Let's start in Calgary in the Northwest Division. We've already ridiculed the signing of Alex Tanguay. We did that last week. They were in on Brad Richards. They apparently offered more money than the New York Rangers did. But other than that, they've made absolutely no acquisitions at all on the free agency wire so far. And they have no cap space, so
they're pretty bad.
They got that going for them. So enjoy your eighth, ninth, maybe if you exceed all expectations, seventh place finish for the next 5 years, Calgary fans.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. It's I had more hopes for Jay Feaster than what he's shown so far. The Tanguay signing is mind-boggling.
You get rid of Regier and then you sign, yeah. Well, their defense looks pretty terrible right now.
Yeah, then that defense looks awful.
After Giordano and Bomeister, and Sarah is so overpaid. That's an ugly group. I actually like Chris Butler, but not to that level.
Edmonton was very active yesterday. They're still bad, though, so they got that going for them. They started by getting Ben Eager, 3 years, $3.3 million, $1.1 million per year.
You need a guy like that who's available on waivers for 3 years.
Yeah.
Ask Toronto how Colton Orr's four-year deal is working out.
Exactly. Darcy Hordichuk, 1 year, $800,000. Cam Barker, 1 year, $2.25 million.
And the pièce de résistance, Drew?
Not there yet, is he? Unless you're talking about Jim Vandermeer, but I don't think you are. He went to San Jose. Yeah. And the pièce de résistance, I apologize, Ezzy. Eric Bélanger, the guy who talked negatively about Winnipeg.
Money talks.
Ends up in Edmonton, 3 years, $5.25 million, $1.75 million per year.
Get that ready for the next segment. Timmy, we need money talks getting out of the segment.
Yeah, okay.
Eric Bélanger is a third-line center, can contribute a little bit of offense, can do some face-off work, can play in all situations. Darcy Hordichuk's a fourth-line player who's a little bit crazy and talks more than his game brings. Ben Eager is the same kind of player as that, a little bit more, even more reckless probably. Cam Barker is a puck-moving offensive defenseman who's a poor skater and poor defensively, especially poor lateral movement. Andy Sutton acquired for who they traded up.
What's his name?
Curtis Foster.
Curtis Foster
is slow but can move the puck. Andy Sutton can't really do either of those things. He's both slow and can't move the puck. They had a bunch of tough guys. I mean, Steve Tambellini, once again, he needs tough guys to protect his young players. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Cam Barker would have been nice for Columbus to sign for 1 year, as opposed to 5 years and 5.5 a year for Wisniewski.
Yeah.
Cam Barker will provide some offense there. I'm fine with that contract. The rest of them, I don't really understand. I mean, even Bélanger, I'm fine with. Why are you bringing in Sutton, Hordichuk, and Eager when they all do the same thing? I mean, I know Sutton's a defenseman, but the purpose is the same thing.
Tough.
Doesn't really make sense to me.
We're going to be tough to play against. Even though the guys we're assigning can't skate and can't do anything, we're going to be tough to play against.
Steve Tambellini's done a great job of
being bad.
I say it every time. It's amazing.
Minnesota made one move yesterday. They re-signed Josh Harding, their own goaltender. 1 year, $750,000. A lot of talent, but injuries have been derailed his career.
You're paying him very, very little for his talent. I think he's very good.
He had a great year 2 years ago. He was injured in the last year, so he didn't really play at all. Yeah. But 2 years ago, he had a great season. Let's go to Vancouver before we get to Colorado, because Colorado doesn't make any sense.
In Vancouver, you have Salo on 1 year, two.
Yeah, Vancouver re-signed Sammy Salo, 1 year, $2 million.
I like that is.
They re-signed Chris Higgins, 2 years, $3.8 million.
Yeah,
$1.9 million per year.
Don't love that.
2 years I can deal with.
But it's fine. None of these deal contracts are something to be angry about.
Marco Sturm, 1 year, $2.25 million.
Fine with that too.
Yeah, more depth. I mean,
they provide better quality of play than Torres.
Yeah, exactly. They lost Torres to Phoenix, which they were fine.
Kill penalties, which Torres couldn't.
So. Yeah, no, Torres is good at taking penalties, though.
Yeah.
That's very good at taking penalties. Vancouver, just sort of, some depth here or there. Nothing of any consequence, but decent all around.
Really good teams don't get involved in this mayhem.
That's exactly right. And talking about mayhem, that brings us to the Colorado Avalanche, where
they now have the best goaltending tandem in the league.
No, they have the worst goaltending tandem in the league. Jan Hayda, 4 years, $13 million, $3.25 million a year.
I don't mind Hayda. I think he's underrated. I don't mind him. I wouldn't love 4 years, but 3 years at nine, 3 years, even 10. They're going to get good value out of him. He's underrated.
Yeah. Chuck Kobosu, 2 years, $2.5 million, $1.25 per year.
$1.25 per year.
Yeah, $1.25 per year.
He's fine. He's whatever. Okay. So he's a tweener. He's a third liner probably now. With some second line scoring ability at times.
And now we get to the goaltending. Jean-Sébastien Giguère, 2 years, $2.5 million, $1.25 per year.
Fine.
Well, he's fine if he's healthy and everything else. Who knows? And then the deal that made the least amount of sense in the entire NHL.
Why did they give those draft picks up?
They traded a first round pick and a second round pick,
which could both be high, Drew.
Almost as high as Greg Sherman was when he made the trade
to the Washington Capitals in exchange for Semyon Varlamov, who was on his way to the KHL. had this trade not happened. There's no guarantee he still won't go to
the KHL.
Did
he not sign now?
I don't believe he signed yet.
There's been conflicting reports on that.
Yeah, I haven't seen any report that he signed.
Got to have Adrian Dater on here.
Well, we'll see if we can get confirmation of that before the show's up. But giving up a first-round pick and a second-round pick for Semyon Varlamov when you're going to be top, you're going to be one of the five worst teams in the league next year is mind-bogglingly stupid.
And Richie, this is the thing. Washington has Michael Neuwirth and Braden Holtby.
Yeah.
So they were trading from a position of strength.
Yeah, first-round pick for nothing. They don't even know it's a difference.
That's going to be a top-five pick in a loaded draft next year.
It will likely be a high draft pick. I mean, if you look at the teams that are worse than them.
It will still be a mid-range draft pick.
There's no way it's... I mean, I don't think they're
making it. The Avs aren't winning the Cup next year, let's be honest.
There's no way that pick is less than in the top 10.
Right.
I mean, you can't give up that pick. Do you think you're one goaltender away from winning the Stanley Cup?
Why didn't they just sign Thomas Vokoun, who, by the way, got no offers, which is absurd.
Yeah, why?
Why didn't they just sign Thomas Vokoun?
That's the best goalie out there.
What, Greg Sherman hasn't done a bad job there, but what is he doing here? What? In what world is this an acceptable trade?
You're a young rebuilding team. You don't have a ton of talent. You're going to be bad for the next couple years, and you're giving up a first and a second round pick to get a goalie who was on his way to Russia. Does he have...
Let's look at this team. Yeah, there's no way they're going to be out of the top 10. Stastny and Duchene up the middle, like both of them. Hayduk's old. David Jones, okay. Mueller, concussion problems. Jay McClellan, Chuck Kobusu. Dear God, this is going to be ugly here. Hayda, Quincy, Johnson, O'Byrne. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're top five pick, probably.
Yeah. I mean, there's just no other way of putting it. You're giving up a top five pick to get a goaltender who was on his way to Russia.
You know... Doesn't even matter. Goaltenders with this value. What are you talking? This is absolutely nuts. What was he thinking?
I want to know. Somebody has to ask him how he justifies it.
He could have signed. Yeah, you know that.
The Capitals just overpaid. It's not even Brouwer with their first round pick. Now they get Colorado's first round pick.
Why? Yeah. I don't know why Vokoun. Did Vokoun not want to go there or something?
Apparently hasn't got an offer.
It doesn't make it. So even if you have Chiguer as your starting goaltender next year, it's better than and you keep your first and your second. That's better.
Absolutely.
There's nobody in the right mind, Drew, that would say that Vokoun is less talented than Jaguar or Varlamov. He's clearly the best goalie.
Shoot. Who knows?
It doesn't make any sense.
Vokoun has a track record. You're asking Varlamov. If Washington was... let me ask you something, okay, guys?
Yeah. Varlamov's not... Yeah.
If Washington really thought that Varlamov was good and he would be the difference between them taking it to the next level for a team that really hasn't had a goalie since Olaf Kolzig, would they not,
Pechel,
have kept him?
You think so. You think they would have. That's not like they're setting
goals. But
they
probably got the offer. George McPhee was probably having lunch. He was probably having some spaghetti and meatballs. And he got this offer, and he's like, oh, this is clearly
a
prank from somebody pretending to be Greg Sherman on my BBM.
Yeah.
And then he called him. He's like, Greg, did you want to offer me a second-round pick for Varlamov? No, George. I want to offer you my first-round pick in 2012 and a second-rounder. How does that sound to you? And then you hear McPhee choking on his meatballs, and it can't express accept quick enough.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's one of those trades where you get him in a fantasy sports, you're pressing accept before the guy can take a trade
back.
That's
what Bill Simmons. Would it be rejected in your fantasy draft?
That's right, exactly right. Mind-bogglingly stupid trade by Colorado. Let's go to break. When we come back, Derek Meach of the Winnipeg Jets coming up.
Money Talks.
Money Talks. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, 11:37, 38, somewhere around there.
I went into the other room and, I went to the other room and was like, Remus, make sure you call Derek now. Out cold.
Remus was sleeping, so...
This is a good example why we're going to take the summer off from Saturday mornings. We're going to be on weeknights.
Cold.
You know, it's one thing in the winter, maybe you don't go out as much, you don't go hard as much. I'm talking about you know, I don't really, you guys all go hard, so I don't really know who I'm talking to right now.
Did Remus call Derek Meach, or is he still sleeping?
He told me he was, quote, dreaming about free agents.
Remus was dreaming about free agents? Yeah, much like my dog dreams about bones, I think Remus was dreaming about free agents. Anyways, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. As I mentioned, this is our final show on Saturday mornings for this summer. We're going to be on weeknights. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and of course, www.illegalcurve.com. We'll update you there when we're going to be on the air. This coming Wednesday is when we're on our first Wednesday night, 6 to 8 here on Sports Radio 1290. I think we have Derek Meach on the line, so let's go to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Let's welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show the first free agent signing of the new Winnipeg Jets. Derek Meach, welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
Derek, you know, how excited are you to play for the hometown team, to be their first ever free agent signing?
Well, it's a pretty unbelievable feeling, actually. I talked to my agent yesterday, and then finally closing the deal and signing it was a great feeling.
Derek, has the Winnipeg Brass talked to you at all about if they want to employ you as a forward or defense, or is it going to kind of be back and forth?
I'm assuming it's going to be defense, but I haven't had any talks about any specifics that way. I just kind of, I talked to them a little bit, and there's just some congratulations there, and but no specifics yet. So,
Derek, what do you think you can bring to the table for this new Jets team?
Well, my game is kind of like a puck-moving game. I like to take pride in my own end and make sure that's taken care of, but I'm a guy that likes to get into the play and jump in and try to chip in offensively as much as possible, too. So, you know, in the NHL, it's important to get the puck out of your hand quickly and get moving up ice. So that's where I like to take the puck out of my end there.
We're joined on the line by Derek Meach, first free agent signing of the new Winnipeg Jets franchise. Derek, who in the Winnipeg Jets front office made the first contact with your agent? Do you know?
Well, my agent was actually meeting with Andrew Ladd and the brass from Winnipeg, and my name came up in the meeting, and I think Heisinger and Chipman were there, and they expressed some interest, so we took it one step at a time and finally came down to it, and I'm really, really excited about it.
Derek, do you know anything about Claude Noel and his coaching style? I mean, from your time in the A a bit, playing against teams that he's coached?
Well, he's really well respected. I played against him a little bit in Milwaukee and obviously Manitoba last year. Mm-hmm. I heard nothing but really good things about him, and he's getting a chance to take that coaching job in the NHL, which seems to be well deserved. So I'm just really excited to get to camp this September. That's for sure.
Derek, your NHL career to this point has been spent with the Detroit Red Wings, and obviously you won the Stanley Cup with Detroit in 2008. What did you learn from the Detroit organization that you can bring to Winnipeg?
Well, they're pretty a benchmark organization, you know, throughout the league. And I was there for 7 years. I played 3 years in Detroit, and I was lucky enough to be part of the Stanley Cup winning team. And, you know, just being around, you know, basically Hall of Famers like Lidstrom and, you know, Rafalski, all these, you can name a ton of them on the team. Just seeing how down-to-earth these guys are and how good of people they are off the ice and on the ice, that's kind of where you really notice why they have so much success. They're just very professional, and so that's something that I'd like to try to bring over to this organization as well.
Derek, you talk a bit about last year in Grand Rapids. You got a point every other game, impressive totals there, and you led the team in plus-minus. Can you give us kind of a review of your year?
Well, yeah, it was nice to, you know, like I said, in Detroit, I was in another lineup, and over the span of 3 years, it kind of takes a toll mentally on you a little bit, but it was nice last year to, you know, get a full season and be relied on and take more of a leadership role. Just to be in games every night, it was a really good feeling for me, and it kind of gave me a little bit of my identity back, and so I'm feeling pretty good about my game now. I think I've matured over the years here, and I'm just looking forward to having a good summer training-wise, get myself prepared for camp.
We're excited to have you, and just before we let you go, are we going to see you in the Believe in the Goal charity game again?
Oh, for sure, yeah. That tournament is special to me. I knew Todd Davidson pretty well, and that's something I look forward to every summer. So it should be great.
Derek, last question. Have you heard from any of your new teammates in the Winnipeg organization, anybody you sort of have a previous relationship with?
You know, and I'm not too familiar with many of the guys. So, no, I haven't really talked to anybody. But that's going to be an exciting part of it, too, is, you know, meeting new guys and you know, starting this whole thing here.
Derek Meach, the first free agent signing of the new Winnipeg Jets franchise, thanks very much for joining us this morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Well, thanks a lot for having me. Appreciate it.
Take care, Derek. Congratulations yet again.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks a lot, Derek.
It's exciting for him to hear that.
Yeah.
Still feels weird that we talked about. It feels weird to say Winnipeg Jets.
It feels weird for us to say, but I mean...
Feels great.
You know what? He'll be able to... Whatever happens for the rest of his life, he'll have two things that he can put on his boilerplate. One, Stanley Cup winner.
Stanley Cup.
First ever free agent signing of the new Winnipeg Jets
franchise. Well, how awesome would that be if, Derek wins the Stanley Cup in his hometown? That's the goal here. True North, this might be a young team, but the goal here... is to eventually win a Stanley Cup, Drew. You're not in this to just make the playoffs in a few years from now or whatever. They want to win the Stanley Cup.
You're in it to win it?
In it to win it.
There you go.
Well, as long as they don't make any moves like Greg Sherman or Dale Talon, we should be okay.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think by all indications, we should be okay in that front. Let's head to commercial break. When we come back, one last segment, one more division. Cheers and jeers. We'll wrap it all up. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. And on free agent frenzy, there's everybody does have a price, and usually it's overpriced. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
And you know, we just played the Million Dollar Man music. We've got our Virgil. Remus is in the room.
Virgil, yeah. And I'm wearing my candy cane stripes as well. Very nice.
That's a great line.
Why are you wearing tights?
So you came prepared for that. One final segment here on this Saturday morning. Let's do the last division. That is the Pacific Division.
Pacific Division.
Start in San Jose. You can really tell the teams that know what they're doing and the teams that don't know what they're doing. San Jose is a team that knows what they're doing. They get Jim Vandermeer from Edmonton, 1 year, $1 million. Depth defenseman, no risk.
He's a tough guy.
Yeah, he's perfectly fine.
Play forward if you need him.
Michael Hanzus, 2 years, $5 million, $2.5 million per year.
I like that one because what you do there is... you have another center behind your two big boys, Thornton and Pavelski.
Yeah.
What you do is you provide more depth, a little more size, which they already have. You can play against other... You can employ him in a defensive situation. He can win some faceoffs, although sometimes he's inconsistent in that regard. Again, two-year deal. That's a totally good work by Doug Wilson This year they're built to win the Cup.
Yep.
The Burns deal has some ramifications moving forward after that, but this is the year. Like, they're loading up for this year.
That's right. Smart deals, nothing big, nothing too serious, but just smart deals all around.
And yeah, it might very well move Logan Couture, one of those guys, one of Couture, Thornton, and Pavelski to the wing.
Yeah.
They're kind of employing them all as centers at the end of the season. Maybe they move one of them to the wing. Maybe they use Hanzus in a fourth line role. You don't know, but it gives them... If you have options, you're looking good.
That's exactly right. Anaheim, very quiet yesterday. Really didn't do anything. They traded Andreas Ilya. They got Curtis Foster from Edmonton in exchange for Andy Sutton.
Well, Foster's better than Sutton, and he makes less money, right?
Yeah.
What's Sutton's contract? Do you have that up?
I don't believe I do. I can probably find it, but I don't have it up immediately. We'll see if we can get it, or we'll tweet it later on.
Foster's right? not a good skater. He's very slow. He's got a howitzer of a shot, although it takes him an hour to get it off. He's actually not a bad puck mover. He's better than Andy Sutton.
Yeah. No big deal there. No big deal. And again, another team that knows what they're doing, not going to hamstring themselves.
Currently, the big guy they're waiting on is Timu. So Anaheim has all of their big guns locked up.
Apparently, Timu had arthroscopic knee surgery. Is that what I heard?
Yeah.
So who knows how that's going to impact...
There's a chance he might not play again next year, but he wants to play. But I mean, you know, that's a concern for Anaheim right now, is that surgery.
They don't need an answer till August on that. I mean, let's be honest.
If he played that well with the injured knee, how is he going to play with this repaired knee?
The arthroscopic knee surgery will just clear out whatever's there. You know, it's probably over the course of a year.
You're a doctor now.
I'm a doctor in my spare time.
You're not a doctor, but you'll take a look.
I expect, my dad actually gave me a shirt that said that once. I was a little creeped out. I expect that Timu will will play another year, but who knows? It could be wrong. Depends.
Remus, are you okay?
Remus, are you sleeping again?
Yeah, Remus, take it easy over there.
I'm doing all right. I'm just thinking about all the great free-agent signings coming up for the Pacific Division. Radim Verbata for the Coyotes. I like that deal. $9 million.
Yeah, what Upshaw should have got, 3 years and $9 million.
Did Remus just usurp my job?
Yeah.
Drew.
Yeah.
Remus woke up and just started naming unrestricted free agents that were signed. Eric Belanger.
Let's talk
RC
about
Hordachuk.
Let's talk about Phoenix's unrestricted free agent signings. They signed to be their starting goaltender, Mike Smith, 2 years, $4 million, $2 million per year.
I always like Mike Smith, but you don't want him to go in as your starter.
No, he's too injury prone. Rafi Torres Rafi Torres goes from Vancouver to Phoenix, 2 years, $3.5 million and $1.75 million per year. Okay.
Sure.
Boyd Gordon goes from Washington to Phoenix, 2 years, $2.65 million.
Gonna be a long year in Phoenix, let me tell you.
I've said this before. I like Rafi Torres. I like his physical game. He's a hothead though, and he does sometimes go a little bit overboard. He can give you a little bit of offense. Boyd Gordon is another kind of grinding forward. That's fine. They don't have enough. This Phoenix is. They're going to play their defensive game under Dave Tippett. There's a good chance they'll make the playoffs.
No, they're not playing any playoffs.
No, Brizgal have no chance.
Are there goalies Jason LaBarbera and Mike Smith?
Yeah. And that's why they're not making the playoffs. Yeah, right there in a nutshell.
There'll be 3,000 people at those games.
The best tweet I saw yesterday was Radim Verbata, 3 years, $9 million, $3 million per year, and to afford it, the city of Glendale laid off their entire fire department, which is somewhat probably close to true. Los Angeles Kings did next to nothing yesterday at all.
In on Richards, they have some space still.
Yeah, they can still do something. Maybe, Langenbrunner or Arnett goes there. They know what they're doing there. That's exactly right.
They did lose Hanzu, so Arnett would be a logical replacement.
As a third-line center, right. Why not?
Yeah. Dallas, they made the following moves. They got Adam Partey from Calgary, 2 years, $4 million, $2 million per season.
He's a very slow skater. I don't know why he got $2 million a year and he got a two-year deal.
So
5-6 maximum, $2 million a year in 2 years. He's such a slow skater in the West on the speed.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. That's no Partey for me.
That's very good pun. Nicely done. No Partey for Partey. Radek Dvorak goes from Winnipeg to Dallas, 1 year, $1.5 million.
No such thing as a bad one-year deal.
Vernon Fiddler goes from Phoenix to Dallas, 3 years, $5.4 million, $1.8 per year.
He's responsible. He can play third line, fourth line. He can put in a goal or two and play defensively.
And he can sit on your roof.
Kill penalties.
Because he's a fiddler. Nicely done, has he? Michael Ryder goes from Boston to Dallas. 2 years, $7 million, $3.5 million per year.
If you're going to sign him for more than 3 a year, which I thought he was worth, then 2 years makes it more reasonable.
Exactly.
I don't mind that.
And then Sheldon Surrey goes from Edmonton to Dallas. 1 year, $1.65 million.
Sheldon Surrey's tenure in Edmonton really worked out well, didn't it?
Yeah, it was a hell of a good time in Edmonton.
Yeah, Dallas was. They get a big shot from the point. They add some. They allow
nothing.
Other guys in their team to succeed in the role that they have.
Love the Surrey signing
exactly.
In Dallas.
Whether it be Daly or Grossman or
great signing.
Else.
That's right. It's no big deal.
Just rich.
Let's go to Cheers and Jeers. Wrap it up.
Cheers. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy.
And jeers.
No, not good enough.
He's a bad boy.
I never seen something sticks like this.
Surprisingly not good.
Final cheers and jeers for Saturday morning shows for the summer. Let's start it off. Michael Remus to my right.
All right, I think it's an easy cheer. I'm going to cheer all the GMs there that didn't overreact to the marketplace, that kind of took a step back and took it easy. And, didn't severely overpay for anyone. And the smart GMs, didn't overpay, but were able to sign guys to smart, low-risk one-year deals.
That seems reasonable. Ezra Ginsberg.
That was a really serious cheer.
It's a serious show, Ezra.
Yeah, we are. On a less serious note, I'm going to cheer and jeer the Edmonton Oilers for signing Eric Belanger. My jeer is because he won't be in the Eastern Conference and we can't see him in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
But cheering him because he's one of the best hockey players
Edmonton
I've ever seen. He's just unreal. If I was a GM, I would give him $8 million. Eric, you're the man. You're too good for Winnipeg, so,
Eric Belanger, money talks.
Edmonton, and Edmonton does play in Winnipeg this year. It's Calgary and Vancouver that don't play here. Edmonton does play here. Richie, cheer or jeer?
I'm going to cheer this show. I can't believe we are gone through the home stretch, and now this is every Saturday morning since November.
Yeah.
We'll take a holiday or two. We're going to the weeknights for the rest of the summer, and then who knows what after that, but
It's been pretty, I've had a pretty great time so far, so I've quite enjoyed it. It's nice to have Izzy and Remus back.
Tim, could you cue the vitamin C, please?
Yeah, I'm going to give two cheers today.
Like the graduation song, is that what you mean, Izzy?
The graduation song, yeah.
The Saved by the Bell graduation song?
No, the vitamin C graduation song.
Seems like only yesterday it started. Anyhow, no, I also want to cheer Izzy and Remus.
That was depressing.
Izzy, Remus, and Kyle for doing a great job of the draft.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Well, thanks for sending us there, Richie. You got our NHL media accreditation. It was an amazing 2 days.
Too.
Me and Remus, you know, we're going to be cherishing those memories, like our meal at Hardee's in Grand Forks.
Hardee's.
Or is it Fargo? Hardee's.
Fargo. I never had Hardee's before, but I was quick to learn it was a poor man's Carl's Jr.
Their curly fries are terrific.
Do you have ketchup? Gravy?
Wasn't that good?
I dipped a little in the ketchup.
You could dip?
Yeah.
What he actually means is he took a swim in the actual vat of ketchup.
Once again, we apologize to Sneaky Pizza in Minneapolis for the amount of alcohol that we consume.
I'll wrap up. Cheers and jeers. The timing is questionable, but I'm going to cheer Brian Burke for going over to Afghanistan to visit with the troops.
Are you going to visit the troops, Drew?
I'm not. At some point in time, you know, some would say that's probably not the time to go there, being at the start of free agency and everything. But anytime anybody selflessly will go overseas to visit our troops, I'll give them a good cheer for doing that.
That's a good cheer.
And he held himself back from making any poor decisions.
Sure, that's because his satellite phone didn't work. So that's to the benefit of all the Toronto Maple Leafs fans. That's it for this Saturday morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. A lot of thank yous. Let's go through them real quick. Anthony Sanfilippo, Delaware County Daily Times. Tim Campbell, Winnipeg Free Press. Mark Seidel, North American Central Scouting. Mike Harrington, Buffalo News. Aaron Portsline, Columbus Dispatch. Derek Meach of the Winnipeg Jets, the first free agent signing. The show will be available for download on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on iTunes. Subscribe to it and get it sent to you each and every week directly to your iPod. Remember to follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve, and continue to check out www.illegalcurve.com for your best in Winnipeg Jets news and notes. We're going to be on Wednesday night and weeknights throughout the summer, so stay tuned to Sports Radio 1290 and www.illegalcurve.com for all your news as to when we're going to be on air. For Michael Remus, Ezra Ginsberg, Richard Pollock, and producer Tim, I am Drew Mindell. We thank you for listening, and remember, if it's Saturday, it is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Sports Radio 1290, CFRW, Winnipeg.
I don't believe what I just saw!
A division of Bell Media. You've been listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Join us again for serious hockey talk, Saturday morning at 9, exclusively on Sports Radio 1290. You heard it on Hustler and Lawless.
I'm also interested in discussing the Twitter war that broke out today. Someone trying to rake a little muck and suggested there was dissension amongst Hustler and Lawless and with the NHL.